Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this episode of the Blue Collar BS podcast. I am your co-host, Brad, along with the Mr. Wonderful,
Steve.
There you go. Hit your cue, hit your marks.
Yep.
How are you, Mr. Doyle, as we are here in early January? What's going on?
Oh, you know, just enjoying the nice cold weather. Really, really loving it, honestly.
You would love it.
It's cold like my soul.
That is a true statement. A completely true statement. Nothing wrong with that. That is accurate. That is very accurate.
It is.
So as this show is sitting here in early January, you know, everybody's kind of back to work. Everybody's back into the swing of things. Schools are back. College is back. Everybody's back. Who the fuck knows if the government shut down as we're sitting here on December to know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess today I just want to kind of go through how to deal with that noise coming into a new year. It's likely most of the audience, or many of the audience, really hasn't set any 2026 planning yet.
Which I just completely baffles me.
Because, you know,
going to be honest,
we got to figure out what happens in 2020. We got to close out 2025 before we can tell you what's going to happen for 26.
Oh my God. Seriously. No, you don't.
Well, I understand, but that's the reality of many. That's the reality though of many organizations.
No.
Because so as we're sitting here in January, what, you know, if we try to leverage, you know, 10X or the 12-week year or things like that, what would be some of the things as we sit here early January to offer the audience opportunity, both personally and professionally and as leaders or individual contributors to start their 2026 out?
Honestly, simplify. Most of us overcomplicate the goals and we...
Says the engineer.
And yeah, recovering. And yes, 100% true. We'll overcomplicate taking a straw out of the wrapper. 100%. 100% right there. But honestly, it's a lot of times we're so focused on having, you know, 5 goals, 7 goals, 3 goals, like whatever it is. We have all these goals. We have all these objectives, thousands of strategies on how to complete these goals, and, you know, more priorities than we know what to do with, and countless activities that steer everybody nowhere. And honestly, I can't preach enough. Simplify what is the one thing in 2026 that you ultimately want to accomplish. The one thing. Simplify it.
All right. So what if that one thing for 2026 is just more?
More what?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
More what?
Well, we just want 26 to be better than 25.
How?
See, now you're getting it complicated.
I am. I'm asking those questions. How? Like what is, you have to define.
So let's walk through some of those things. So that way, right, people can mm-hmm. have an idea, right? Because it's resolution season. It's all those things. It's, oh, I'm going to do this. But ultimately, decisions were not made. People are doing, they're making those commitments because mm-hmm. it's the thing to do when the calendar flips over because, well, it's going to be a healthier year and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And, you know, we're going to, okay, cool. By mid-February, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're back to old habits. It comes down to decision-making, both personally mm-hmm. and professionally. So if you had to offer up your genius, and I use that word lightly, maybe in air quotes.
Okay. All right.
To the OEM manufacturers or mm-hmm. construction firms, et cetera, that we are, you know, targeting to talk to, more meaning, would you want them to focus on more sales, more control over cost of goods sold, more efficiency, more profit, more culture,
more culture,
more stability, more. What would more be?
All right. So first, let's just define something. It's, you know, I'm very, very big on defining the single measurable outcome that will determine a successful year. So when you say, I want more, I want better, what is that one thing, that one outcome that will determine a successful year? You know, for some businesses, it'd be, I want to increase revenue to 40 million. Maybe it's 3 billion. I don't know what it is, but what is that? It could be improved gross margin by 27%. Okay. Maybe I want to raise customer satisfaction to 90%. Maybe I want it to be 99%. All right. Maybe it's, I want a complete ERP implementation by the end of the year. Whatever it is, right? As funny as that is,
define a complete ERP implementation, because they're never complete.
Correct, right? But some people have that fallacy. That's kind of why I threw that one in there, right? But it's, what is a single measurable outcome that's going to determine success for your year? And whether you're a business owner, you're in a C-suite, you're in a small upcoming company, what is that one thing? Because ultimately, everything around that goal, that's how we're going to work on all the activities and measure and have a scorecard that we're talking about every single day. How are we driving to accomplish that goal? So number one, how are we defining that single measurable outcome that defines or determines a successful year? Okay.
Okay. And how, so if you are that business owner,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it could mean very different things to very different people, correct. At very different stages of life, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And too often we get scared in the, well, it can't just be one thing because everything's connected. So if I just pick the one thing, how can I, let's just use gross margin, because in my belief is, more people have impact organizationally on gross margin than they do on profitability, because we can't control, most employees have no control over operating expenses. The owner gets to decide, am I going to buy capital? Am I going to do things? Am I going correct. To make all that stuff happen? So let's just use gross margin. We're going to increase gross margin by 27%,
mm-hmm.
which is a great example. And I think that is an area that many don't focus on, because they focus mm-hmm. on top line sales and bottom line profit, and they lose all the other shit. And now we get paying out commissions on stupid shit we shouldn't be, and we're paying out bonuses on numbers that are fictitious, and it's like, what are we doing here? So if we use gross margin as the example, what would be some of the activities you'd want to suggest to focus on throughout the rest of the organization?
Well, before we get to activities, I need to define a couple other things.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Here comes the engineer.
I just defined it.
27% gross margin increase.
Well, you define the goal, but what are the outcomes for doing that to improve your gross margin? Like how are you going to do that?
We got to do the thing. Just got to go do the thing, man.
Just do the thing. Yeah. Well, okay. But what is the thing? Well, how would you define, you know, those objectives for the gross margin?
I mean, the objectives, it's revenue minus cost. It's revenue minus cost of goods sold. Give me my gross margin. What's the problem?
Okay. So
that's the calculation. What's the, it's simple. Why are you trying to overcomplicate it?
It can be, but I mean, like you said, there's a lot of different things that go into, and almost all employees have an impact. So could be, maybe like if we're talking a manufacturing company, maybe I want to reduce scrap and rework by 20% across the operation team. How would that improve your gross margin?
It depends on how that carries through.
Right.
Depends on where the scrap is happening.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it requires the discipline of that team.
Is it a customer return because I've already recognized all the revenue and it's coming back as bad product, or did I catch it as WIP?
Depends.
I understand. If we want to go down this path, we can go tit for tat all day long.
We're going to go down this path, Brad. We're going to go down this path because we both know where it leads. Right? So
So let me re-ask you the question, Mr. Doyle. I'm going to keep leading the witness.
It's going to get broken down a little bit further.
What would be some of the areas upon which, if 20% gross margin or 27% gross margin increase is the opportunity, where are the areas upon which you would suggest somebody start looking at to create those objectives, sub-goals, strategies, whatever, the activities, the things that George needs to go take care of to have an impact? How do I get every department to have an impact on that gross margin? What are some of the areas that you would typically lead people to that have a high degree of impact without a high, let's go with high impact, low effort on gross margin? Where are those areas?
High impact, low effort. So when I think of different objectives or different areas, right, I'm going to look at my ops team, right? There's a couple different ways from that standpoint. And look at scrap. I can look at reducing scrap. I can look at my overall cycle time, right? More parts through, it all has an impact. I can look at my project management team with scheduling accuracy.
How could that impact gross margin?
Yeah. What? I mean, who doesn't like downtime?
That's what I was waiting for you to bring up is the manpower piece of it.
Right. But that's where that would fit into it. Right. The other thing is look at all of our sales teams with our estimating and pricing.
How about we just ask the question as to the tariff?
Like, how does that all come into play?
As an example.
Right.
On the purchasing side, like, really, why is this really here?
Yeah. Okay.
Just ask the question on your invoices. No, asking it when you get the invoice, hey, what? Show me that this is real.
Having the tariff or not having the tariff?
Right. Show me that this is real money coming through. Don't just put it on there as a line item without any indication. Mm-hmm. And just, oh, well, this has got passed through five times and it might have been a dollar and now it's $75. Well, hang on. No, let's make sure that you understand what you're paying for as well.
Mm-hmm.
And supplier accountability to me is one of the big pieces of it. Right. And too often I see it's an untapped market. Not that I'm trying to go down the former employer path of got to win every battle, but there needs to be some trust, but verify along the way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%. So once we have all of our different objectives identified, right, I break it down and I break it down into like a 12-week strategy. So using the 12-week year, right? So once you have each one of those objectives, what are the strategies for each objective?
Don't run a drug boat because there's going to be a problem.
That you can take within 12 weeks. What are those things? So like
I'd advise against it right now. That could be a strategy, right? I could go do that to go increase my gross margins.
Wow. Yeah, what? Right? It is manufacture. Delivery, but I mean in a roundabout way, but let's not go.
Well, the only reason I say that is because people say I want to increase my top line revenue or I want to have $1 million, right? Or whatever. Okay, well, one of the strategies is that you could go be a drug dealer if you wanted to be. But does it fit your morals and values and your other things that go along with it? So it's a bad strategy, but
it is. You're correct.
Right. But there's opportunity, right? You could be a TikToker. You could go face page or whatever.
You can be on OnlyFans, I guess. I mean, sell your finger pics.
It is. Focus, Doyle. Focus. But
anyways. You got me all through it. Yeah, focus. Yeah, I'll tell you to focus. Acronym included. So now that we've talked about our goals, we've talked about different objectives that you can have for that goal of improving the margin, your gross margin, right? Now it really comes, and you got the different strategies to take each one. So let's just, I like to focus on scrap because who doesn't like scrap reduction, but you know, what are your, and a strategy would be, you know, what are the top three scrap drivers and actually start doing some root cause analysis on what's causing those, right? And implement the corrective actions in the first 12-week cycle.
Oh, but I don't have people to do that. I'm too busy.
Well, it's listen, what do you want to work on? What do you want your focus to be?
Yeah, correct.
Right. And this is how you get everybody focused on the same thing, on truly driving. If you want to improve your gross margin, this is how you're going to get all everybody aligned on the team.
It's so hard. It's just, right? It's so, that means I got to make a decision and I got to listen to all the whining and all the things.
You know, if you pulled your head out of your rear sometimes.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And that's the point here, folks. It's you need to make the decision and work on the accountability along the way so that every one of those things is driving up to that, which is why it's really important to have the one thing. Like everybody should have a number. Everybody should know what winning looks like. Everybody should know how winning is defined by you as the owner, the business leader. You should have an idea on your own personal side. How are you going to win every day? Are you getting up and meditating? Are you going to the gym every day after work? Are you spending time with your family? You know, taking the dog for a walk. What does winning look like for you? Because we get lost in all of the things. And when you make the decision, it's amazing what happens in life when decisions are made.
Yeah.
And the key is you got to decide. You can't live in this, well, maybe kind of, sort of, if so, I'll think about it.
Right.
Because amazing things can happen when you rally people around you to share your vision and see your goal and get them involved.
Yeah. And when we're crystal clear on what that goal, that singular goal is, everybody wins because everybody understands how to make an impact with that. When you have multiple goals, it leads to, you know, multiple times objectives and everything just keeps increasing. And then you start losing or diluting the impact that people can have and make.
Oh, yeah. I remember when we were going through our automotive phase and they brought the Hoshin system into the organization of all the roll down things. I'm like, oh my, there's way too many things here.
Yeah.
Way too many. It's like 9 different things going across. It's like a 9 by 9, 81 squares to fill in type thing. Like, are you kidding me? This is way complex.
Yeah, you spend more time tracking than actually doing anything in meetings, talking about the things, rather than actually doing the things and getting the actual savings
and
done.
Your employees come back with all the excuses of all the things because you didn't give them the time to do the thing to make it happen. And I don't have the report and da-da-da-da. And, well, SAP needs to do this and it doesn't, so I got to write a ticket. IT hasn't done their job there's so many ways to... You just need to eliminate that. So the simplification is spot on, sir.
Yeah. So then the whole reason for doing the simplification is just to get everyone aligned with minimal ambiguity, right? We can't tell you how many times.
Ambiguity.
I know. Sometimes even I amaze myself with the words I use. I just keep coming back to the whole notion, right, of when we're crystal clear, our employees know how to win. And ultimately, all of these changes happen because our employees know how to execute on the things that matter the most.
And it helps keep the squirrels at bay.
Because there's always going to be squirrels or squirrels with shiny objects?
Both.
Because there's always going to be something to go look at and do. Like, oh, what if we went over here and did this?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And if you can't get the opportunity to make it match the goal, then it shouldn't be being worked on. And you have to have the kahunas and the bandwidth and the support within, not only from your own kahunas, but from your team to be able to support you both up and down and say, no, we're not going to do this. This pet project. And if you're only operating in a 1-year vacuum, a 1-year cycle, some of those things can be very beneficial 3 to 4 years down the road. Now, suddenly you start making exceptions to all that. So that's why it's important to start making sure you have a 2 to 3 year vision. So if you are going to work on a re-racking project or a shop floor layout change or things like that in order to increase the efficiency, well, it's just not going to happen overnight and it's going to be at a detriment to the current goal.
Absolutely.
So no one will ever make the improvement because it's a detriment to the current goal. So you don't move forward, but you hit this year's goal at the cost of the next 2 or 3 years. So you got to be careful of some of those things as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, that was fun, Mr. Doyle.
That was a good topic.
Sure.
I'll allow it for today. I'll allow the funness for today.
You'll allow it for today?
We can let this one go. We can let this one set sail.
Alrighty, sir. Have a wonderful rest of your early January.
All right,
and later. We will talk soon.